But the guest might have some interesting things to say about the situation last night as well, too. So that's coming in the way in your second hour.
One of the players from the plate at 3 in the morning?
No, maybe even better. We got that coming up. We've got Sharknado news, potentially, in the second hour, Krim. You know, we normally save space news for Friday, but we might have Sharknado news and space news on the show in the second hour. So come back with us. We will talk weird plays, Sharknados, and high school tennis in the second hour. This has been Aubrey Bloom, Richard Krum. Yeah, come back with us. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagles, Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
This is Sports Radio 1150, KZNE and KMDE HD3, College Station Bryan. Your home for Houston Astros baseball and Houston Texans football. Sports Radio 1150.
Flex. I'm Rich Ackerman, and this report is brought to you by Golfsmith. People that would do anything for golf deserve a store that would do anything for golfers. At Golfsmith, certified club fitters help you get the right gear. To find a store, visit golfsmith.com. Bill Guthridge passed away at the age of 77 for years. He was known as Dean Smith's top assistant, and after serving as such for 30 years, he succeeded him as head coach at North Carolina in 1997 and led the Tar Heels to the Final Four twice in the next 3 years. He was also an assistant for each of the Tar Heels' championship teams, won in 1982 and 1993. A pair of games in the NBA tonight. The Hawks host the Wizards with that series even at 2. John Wall's status remains uncertain due to a fractured wrist, and he's a game-time decision. Out west, the Warriors host the Grizzlies after evening the series at 2. After missing a chance to take a commanding lead back to Oakland, Grizzlies head coach Dave Yeager said they just have to move on.
We just got to keep swinging away. We have a belief in our team that we came into the series thinking that it was going to be a seven-game series, even when nobody thought we'd get a game, or some people thought we might get one. So we believe that we can get the job done.
There's a Game 7 in the NHL tonight. The Rangers have forced a deciding game and will host the Capitals. After rallying from a 3-1 series deficit, Henrik Lundqvist happy to be at Madison Square Garden tonight.
Playing big games at home is always fun. And, you know, your focus, your approach is the same, but obviously the experience to play in front of your own fans in the big games, it's hard to describe and hard to replace.
The winner will face the Tampa Bay Lightning next. Baseball right now, top of the second, Boston and Oakland are scoreless. The Nationals and Diamondbacks scoreless in Arizona, top two. I'm Rich Ackerman.
Looking for great NBA playoff talk? Listen to Eye on Basketball, Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Patrick Ziner with your community calendar on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM. Brought to you by RP Lee Termite and Pest Control, shielding and protecting homes against pests for over 30 years. For more information, visit rpleepestcontrol.com. The City of Bryan Community Development Advisory Committee hosts a regular public meeting tomorrow at Fannin Elementary School starting at 6. Registration remains open through Sunday for Blinn's May Minimester, which runs May 18th through June 3rd on the college's Brenham and Bryan campuses. Nominations are now being accepted for the 11th annual Aggie 100. Qualified Aggie-owned or Aggie-led firms are encouraged to nominate their firms online at aggie100.com/nominate. The Wearable Art Group will host a program on embellishing fabric with presenter Maydell Wittig on Tuesday at 4 at the Art Center on Dartmouth. Today, a 60% chance of thunderstorms, cloudy and 79. Tonight, 50% chance of rain continues, mostly cloudy and 70. You can now hear your favorite teams, A&M football, A&M basketball, and A&M baseball on your FM dial. Listen in on the Zone 102.7 FM.
It's back, and it's bigger than ever. It's Steel Dealer Days. The best time of the year to find great values on steel equipment. Steel trimmers start at just $129.95. Blowers start at just $149.95. And steel chainsaws start at just $179.95. Head to your local steel dealer now for the big event.
Steel Dealer Days.
Visit steeldealers.com to find a dealer near you. Available at participating dealers. All prices MSRP.
Your mom was right. Milk is good for you. As a matter of fact, drinking milk builds strong bones and healthy bodies. Plus, milk is one of our country's safest foods. I'm Lacey Sublett, and our family has been milking cows for more than 30 years. Our family works with the cows day in and day out to make sure they are comfortable and well-fed. As every dairy farmer knows, healthy cows produce the best milk. Learn more about our dedication to cow care at dairymax.org.
Here's Brad Beard of Intercon.
Replacement windows, like other major purchase items, will at some time in the future need service, whether warranty or not. If you purchase your replacement windows from Intercon, you'll just phone our local number and we'll take care of your issue in a prompt and professional way. Every one of Intercon's personnel who answer the phone will know how to involve the right people to find a solution. With Intercon, you won't spend hours manipulating through an automated phone tree. If you consider purchasing your replacement windows from another window source, a good exercise would be to call the service department of the other company. You might come away thinking it'd be better to put your trust in a local company with a solid and well-established reputation. Ask your friends and colleagues about the customer experience they had with Intercon. We are proud of our track record and our commitment to long-term customer service. Trust Intercon, a family-owned local business with all of your window needs.
Whether you have new construction or an existing home, let the fine folks from Intercon help your home energy efficiency year-round. Call Brad Beard of Intercon today at 823-3639. That's 823-3639.
Spend your weekdays with Tex Ags Radio, Louie Bellina, Aggie Nation, and Chip Howard. Spend your weekdays with The Zone, FM 102.7, and Sports Radio 1150.
And now it's Aggie Nation, powered by The Eagle, on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Welcome back. Aubrey Bloom, Richard Kroom. We are brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the events coming to the season that dreams are made of at mscopus.org. Lots of good stuff there. Again, check that out, mscopus.org. You can call us, 693-1150, or text us, 229-1939. And let us know what's on your mind. We're going to talk about some of the weirdest plays that in A&M history. Kroom, we finally got a few. By the way, Juventus has tied this leg,
so they're up.
So they lead in the aggregate. To be an upset, right? I don't know the line.
Yeah. Oh, I'm pretty sure that'd be an upset. But I mean, but Juventus has done real well.
Well, it's not like Monaco beating Real Madrid or anything, but would be a little bit of an upset. All right, all kinds of weird plays have been sent in.
It's good. I want to hear these.
Okay, well, here's
one. Having trouble with A&M-wise.
Someone said, I think last season in baseball against Ole Miss, the Aggies scored off a wild pitch off an intentional walk. That was pretty weird. I've seen that. The walk-off balk is always weird.
Yeah, that was.
I've seen one of those before, too, in an A&M game. Someone said a weird one was the Rice A&M football game this past year. The field goal, the sequence where Rice made a field goal, I think it was Rice, but for some reason, part of me thinks maybe it wasn't. But Rice made a field goal, had to re-kick the field goal, kicked it. It came up short. Armani Watts returned it for a touchdown, but then it didn't count because A&M had players on the field. That was weird. That's a good one. That was
a pretty good one.
Mm-hmm. We had some people on Twitter. Someone said there was a variety of weird plays in the Snow Bowl. Someone said Mitchell now stealing a base. Although Mitchell now
has
move,
this year.
Mitchell now can move a little bit this year.
He's one for one this year, Mitchell now.
Someone said didn't A&M do a fake the whole like fake incomplete bounce lateral thing where you act like you're throwing it to the flats and you let it bounce and then you though I can't remember A&M doing that. I've seen lots of teams do it, but I don't know. I can't remember necessarily.
I remember the Dolphins doing it. I remember Marino doing it.
Someone brought up the there was a play against Bama where A&M kind of came out in this double. I forget the name of the formation, but they basically had two offensive linemen to the left, two offensive linemen to the right. A lot of people call it like a monster package. There's different. Again, there's different ways that you can. The different formations you can call, but that was weird against Bama. But that play didn't count. I think it got called back. I think they called an illegal formation on A&M, actually. And so I remember the coaches being mad about that one. Someone said Nal's gotten thrown out at least once in the last two series. Get the facts straight. I didn't say
not
he's always successful.
Base. Not trying to steal.
I didn't say he was always successful, but he's stolen a few bases.
He got,
this season,
I think,
right?
it wasn't counted as a caught stealing in this last series, the one that where he got thrown. That was one where the most people thought they missed the tag on now.
Oh, he did miss the tag. I remember that player talking about.
But I don't think that was a caught stealing. I think that was some other. Because of other things that had gone on, it was like it wasn't counted as a stolen base attempt.
But either way, he can move a little bit. He's certainly not speedy. Someone had a basketball one. Actually,
moves his legs real fast, but he's only 5'9" or 10".
He's not the fastest guy in the world, but compared to how fast he was the last couple seasons, he's a little bit quicker out there this year.
He did a good job of that over the offseason, getting his weight down.
A couple basketball ones. Someone mentioned the... I don't know if you remember. This is a pretty specific one. A lot of people won't remember this, but the Brian Davis three-pointer bank shot against Kansas in the Big 12 tournament. I think that had been 2008. The shot clock was winding down, and he basically just threw the ball at the basket, and it banked in for a three-pointer. That was a good one.
What about the one where I don't know who it was against, but I remember Brian Davis wide open, and he was going to go up for a dunk. And slipped and fell. Slipped, yeah.
That was weird, too.
His knee gave way or something.
Someone mentioned Manziel's recovering his own fumble and throwing a touchdown. That was obviously – he had a few of the weirder players we've ever seen.
Like chasing down the Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, that's still – talk about that not too long ago for some reason. That's the greatest play that didn't count of all time. He had that one. He had the one where he spun out against Alabama at home and he threw it up for grabs and it worked out. He had the play where for just some reason the Ole Miss guys didn't tackle him and he just ran in for a touchdown. That was a weird play too. He had a couple different weird plays. There is one though that as soon as I tweeted this out and someone tweeted it back at me, that I was like, yeah, it's the weirdest play. Because this was a play that no one even knew was a rule until it happened, and that was the one-point safety against Texas. And I think 2004, I guess would have been, I think it was the 2004 game in Austin, where what happened was there was an extra point. It was either blocked or fumbled, or it was a two-point conversion or something. But I think it was Jackson Appel, picked the ball up in the field of play. This is on an extra point attempt.
Oh, yeah.
Lateraled it back into the end zone. Then it was fumbled, and Texas recovered it. So the ruling there is that it's a one-point safety. And no one had ever even heard of it.
So it was essentially like the team had kicked the extra point in the first place.
Yeah. That was the weirdest play I've ever seen. And it was one of those ones where everyone in the stadium was going, like, what? That's not a rule. There's no way that's a rule. And this is before, like, you can get on Twitter and see if that's the rule. You know, you're trying to text people, and no one has service in that place, and no one can really find it. That was easily the weirdest play I've ever seen. What's kind of funny, though, is the other one I was thinking of happened in that game also. And that was the one, and it wasn't weird to everybody, because if you were watching at home, he pretty clearly fumbled, but everyone at Memorial Stadium thought Vince Young scored right before halftime. He stuck the ball out over the goal line, and if you were there, it looked like he got in. Now, of course, with the advantage of replay down on the field, he obviously didn't, but it looked like he did, and it looked like he got in, and everyone was kind of standing around, but as he reached the ball over, one of the A&M guys knocked it out, and A&M picked it up and ran it 99 yards for a touchdown, but I remember everyone there being like, oh, there's no way that's going to count. He was clearly in, but he wasn't. So both of those plays happened in the same game, Krim, but some certainly weird plays. Another basketball one was this year's simultaneous block charge call.
That was weird. I have never seen that before.
No, and I better never see it again. Yeah, that's right, a rule I better fix this.
But you know what's funny? And I sit next to someone who kind of like a supervisor of the officials, and he swore to me up and down. You know, that's a legit possibility.
He said it was the right call.
And I'm thinking, if it is, I don't like it. They need to change that somehow.
Right. That's one of those rules that needs to be pulled out. You know, we could do a whole show on rules that need to be gotten rid of. One of them, we talked yesterday about how DeAndre, or maybe that was Monday, DeAndre Jordan is going to make himself millions of dollars on two fronts because of teams fouling him so much, they're going to change that rule. And then because they change it, he's not going to have to shoot as many free throws, and his value is going to go way up this summer. So we'll see how they fix that one. But Yeah, someone else tweeted in the 1-point safety in Austin. It was a perfect symbol of the Fran years. It really was. I mean, if you weren't there, and it's my explanation of it's probably not quite doing it justice, but this was such a bizarre play that, like, the refs had to look up the rule. Like, this was one of those things that no one had ever seen happen before because it requires a pretty specific sequence of events to even be possible. So, again, that was a pretty weird one. But, yeah, thanks for everyone for texting and all kinds of
strange ones.
Yeah, well, and then our friend Brad Morcourt just tweeted at us, too. He said the blocked PAT in the snowball was picked up by a Mississippi State player who lateraled it to another one, and then they took it all the way back for 2 points. So I don't remember that one, but there's another good one, too. So lots of weird plays out there, Krim. I wish I could remember what spawned this whole thing, because there was a weird play in either a Major League Baseball game or something the other day that made me think of it. But who knows? It's lost to history now, Krim.
Doesn't matter what makes you thought of it. We thought of it, and we got some good examples of other ones, other what? Strange ones.
We're talking, it's been with Cease both times, about ideas on how to fix the NBA's foul problems. Are you one of these free throws a part of the game guys?
No, I don't like it. I know what you're saying with a part of the game, but it just makes the game, you know, I want to say unwatchable, but boy, it sure.
It is unwatchable.
Yeah, it sure. Leads
especially,
that way.
There's been times in this Clippers Rockets series where, for a few possessions, both teams were doing it, and it's like, don't stop, quit it.
Maybe on fouls like that are on purpose, charge the player who fouled them for two fouls or something like that, so they can't only, you know, they can't keep doing that.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? So they get in foul trouble, and then they can't do that, especially early, because if you're doing it in the second quarter and you get charged two fouls for it, you know, like kind of like a foul and then a technical or something like that, then you're looking at, you know, then you're going, well, you know, I've given them a yellow card, make them sit for 5 minutes.
Anyone who listens to the show every day knows my thoughts on this, and I've shared this a couple times, but it kind of starts with a mental journey for me, Krim. I was one of these, free throws are part of the game, learn to make your free throws. But then I was reading an article about some guy who was staunchly, he had an idea for something else, and he was saying that the free throws are only part of the game because we made them part of the game. He was saying it's the only thing in sports where by fouling someone, by committing a penalty, by doing something illegal, you can make someone do something that they're not good at. It's the only example of that, which is a good point. I hadn't really thought of it that way. And so his suggestion at the time seemed ludicrous, and I've come around to now, this is what I think they should do. I think if it's a non-shooting foul, you should get to pick the shooter every time. So we talked about this on Monday, which is why we were saying that
that's a good idea.
The JJ Redick DeAndre Jordan combo would be the best.
Like if it's obvious you're purposely fouling DeAndre Jordan,
then JJ Redick,
then the Clippers can look up and say we're going to send Redick to the
line. Yeah, 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 yeah. Mm-hmm.
What I like? Or here's another thing. Or maybe just okay, if they purposely foul him, and of course this would just be like stopping it, period. Anyway, but it's like let the Clippers then take the ball out of have the choice of taking the ball out of bounds.
Well, that was my original idea. That's the one I've been on for a long time.
Fouling DeAndre, and like I said, keep guys available to play because they get into foul trouble.
Well, the one thing I've said is that you should be able to decline the free throws if you want to, and I still kind of think that would be one way to fix it. But I do like the idea of being able to send someone else to the line, and I'm calling this the PK rule. Because in soccer, that's the rule. You can sit anyone up to take a penalty kick.
Right.
And anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up to see what you thought. Because you've been talking about that lately, but with Cease a lot. So that would see if
how
you
about if
thoughts
how about
it.
If, like, and this would stop free throws a little bit more. How about if DeAndre Jordan steps up, makes the first one, he automatically gets the second one?
Well, that was one idea that a texter had, was
really?
That you automatically get 1 point, and then you get a second free throw. Just
oh, well, that's a little different than what
I
said.
Yeah, but it's along the same
but
line.
It is along the same lines. But, yeah, if you made the first one, the second one automatically counted, and you're on your way.
Yeah.
And that would stop. That's less free throws, less time, Unless people getting.
I think if people sent J.J. Redick to the free throw line a few times, or whoever it was.
Well, I think if you just had that rule, it just it wouldn't happen, period.
No one would ever foul on purpose.
Because you're not going to foul a guy who makes 90% of his free throws.
Yeah, so like I said, that was a different one. I thought we'd get your take on that. We've been talking a lot about that lately, and some people have probably heard that a few times.
Well, you know what? You know, and I was going to say this. You know what? I mean, because, like, you don't want to watch free throws. That game where Houston and the Clippers played, where Houston got to shoot 60-some-odd, was it 64 free throws? That was terrible. I joked afterwards when they were interviewed in Harden. I looked up to whoever's watching with me. I said, "Oh, I think the announcer just touched Harden. And he's going to the free throw line again."
Yeah, I mean it was
brutal. Terrible.
So there we go. We fixed it all. We did this the other day, but thought we'd get your thoughts on that, Krim. Let's go to break. When we come back, a few other things to wrap up before we get to the high school reports. To come back with us, this is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Normandy Tractor. At Normandy Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. And right now, get the best deal of the spring with the Kubota L2501F 25-horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot Land Pride shredder, complete with a $300 factory rebate and a $500 cash rebate. Only $12,195 or 10% down and payments of only $162 per month. Normandy Tractor asks you, why buy used when you can buy new with prices and payments as low as these? Need to finance? Normandy makes it easy with zero down payment and 0% financing on all new Kubota tractors and lawn equipment. And remember, most any trade-in can be your down payment. Normandy Tractor voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials at normandytractor.com, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normandy, Texas. And remember, nobody beats Normandy Tractor.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of those businesses who sponsor the games of your favorite team. Businesses like Cherry Ruffino, Coldwell Banker United, Hargrove Insurance, and Atkinson Toyota in Bryan and Madisonville. Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone HD.
Whether at work or play, your trucks and equipment take a beating every day. Make them last with Rhino Lining Protective Coatings. If you're investing in a new truck or just looking to add life to your existing truck, trailer, RV, and equipment, Rhino Linings is a proven solution. The new Rhino Extreme Coating offers superior resistance against chemical, rust, and corrosion, as well as durable impact resistance to withstand those heavy loads. If you want an industrial-strength truck bed liner, go extreme. Get yours today at Texas Custom Outfitters on Highway 6 in Navasota. Call for more info, 936-870-3009.
It's the season dreams are made of. Texas A&M University's MSC Opus will announce the enchanting events coming to its 43rd season on Thursday night, April the 23rd. If you're wondering what Opus has in store for Aggieland in the 2015-16 season, stay connected to Opus on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or visit mscopus.org. Bryan Broadcasting is proud to be an official media partner of Opus Season 43.
Okay, so it's no secret the powers that be waited until I left town to launch the new Zone 102.7 FM. I understand the why. They figured there'd be more folks listening to my fill-ins than to me, and maybe they could capture a few more listeners. But I fooled them. I came back. So now if you miss me on Sports Radio 1150, you can miss me on 102.7 as well. We call that a twofer. So tune in, or don't, weekdays from 4 to 6 on Sports Radio 1150 and Zone 102.7 FM.
Bloom and Krim, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Krim, yesterday there was a little word leaked out and Twitter got real excited. That is a potential 30 for 30 on John Daly. Excited about that?
Yeah, that would be interesting.
I have a love hate with the 30 for 30 series. I think there's some great ones.
I usually like most of them. I think that's one of the better things they do.
Well, there's some that I think have a lot of the two Miami ones annoy me. And then there's another one. Because there's so much revisionist history in there. And it's done by a Miami guy. And there's a lot of us against the world stuff in there. And I don't know. That stuff just kind of, I don't know. It doesn't, I'm not a huge fan of all of them. But there are some really, really good ones. I love the one about the Russian side of the Miracle on Ice.
Oh, that was as good a documentary
as
I've ever
seen. Yeah, I thought that one was really good. And that's really what I think. This is what I love.
The last line of that documentary, where the Russian looks up and goes, "Now that's a miracle," because he won a MVP in an American Hockey League.
Yeah, in the Stanley Cup Finals
Stanley Cup Finals.
That was a good one. And to me, that's what the good ones are of the 30 for 30 series. They tell a part of something that you don't know or something you don't normally think about. You know, we're so familiar with the American side of that game that to tell the Soviet side I thought was really interesting. I really liked that one. But there are some that
dealt with just the Soviets. You know, there was a little bit of political on the Russian side.
Yeah, so that one was really good. But I figured you'd be excited for the John Daly one.
He's a character.
It's going to be a bizarre one. I hope it's... doesn't go too... I hope it's not too much. You know, I hope it's... lets it tell the story it needs to tell instead of whatever they... And I hope it's just not a wild, crazy story, but we'll see.
Well, the question is this 30 minutes long enough?
Well, they're not all 30 minutes. Yeah, some of them are an hour. Some are 2 hours.
Yeah,
the Russian hockey one was a two-hour one.
Yeah, that was good.
Hate Christian Laettner one was good. That was a recent one. I thought that one was good, too.
Yeah, hate Christian Laettner, right? So you
Well,
like that.
I'm a little post-Christian Laettner. Yeah. I hate the idea of Christian Laettner, but I wasn't really around. I mean, I was six when he hit the big shot against Kentucky and all that stuff. So, that one also had a little bit. I liked that one, but it also had a little bit of a little too much emotion, not enough fact, I guess, for me, is what I'm saying. So some of them that you get a little carried away. That was my big problem with the Miami ones, but we'll see. And then also, you know, Friday is when we do our real space news on Friday. But there was a leaked poster for everyone's favorite movie, Sharknado, and Sharknado 3 Croom coming out apparently this summer could involve space. The main character's in a NASA shirt, and then there's a space shuttle in the background. So tornadoes and sharks and space could all be in one movie. You excited for that?
I don't know. I don't know whether or not. I'm going to go back to your Miami thing because the thing I liked about that was that the players, and it was just interesting to listen to the players, but they were not apologetic whatsoever, and that's what I found interesting about that one.
Well, and
you know,
this
I mean, they
is,
just I'm, was like, okay, I'm sticking my hands up there, and you know, and
I didn't want to get too much into it because I know people are going to think I'm just being a negative Nancy on this thing because everyone loved the U ones, but my issue with them is that. Yeah, certainly there was this old establishment that did not want to see Miami win. I'm not saying there was none of that, but the way that those looked is like Miami had no fans outside of Miami. You know, the way those series portrayed them, I mean, there was two, the U and the U Part 2, made it sound like it was them against the world. No one outside of Miami liked them. No one thought they could win anything, and that's just not the case. I mean, there was some of that, but there were Miami fans everywhere, Croom. I mean, when they played games on the road, it wasn't like there was no one there to see them. I mean, they had fans all over the country. I mean, I was a kid around that, the first series era when they were talking about the early 90s, and I remember friends liking Miami just because they were so good. So
I did not like them, and this is how much I did not like them. When Penn State played them, I wanted Penn State to beat them, and I don't know if I've ever wanted Penn State to beat anybody except for maybe
– Well, like I said, that certainly was part
Nebraska
of it, but to me it was just too much of that. Like, everyone was hating us. Everyone outside was haters.
Maybe they dwelled on that a little too much, maybe.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing I keep coming back to in a lot of things. I talk about this on the show a lot. I get sick of hearing about the haters. Like, yeah, we talk about this all the time, and everyone that wins anything
likes to
come back and talk about how they, you know, they got past all the haters, you know, and it's like, dude.
It's almost like they make up a us against the world just to have an extra incentive.
Yeah, everyone does that. Yeah. I mean, how many times do we hear this? Every time anyone gets interviewed after anything, we hear, no one thought we could do this.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, plenty of people thought you could do this.
Right.
Especially you're talking about the early 90s Miami Hurricanes. Like, clearly a lot of people thought you could do this.
They were one of those teams where you go, this team could beat an NFL team. It was amazing how many first-round draft picks they had.
Someone texted Thad Matula, I think I'm saying that right, directed the Pony Excess and the one about the Boz. They said just won an Emmy for the last one. The Boz one was one I wasn't a huge fan of. It was a little, like, 90% of it I loved. It was the 10% when it was, like, in the – have you seen that one? Mm-hmm. When they're, like, in the storage unit, and it felt a little forced. Yeah. I didn't like that part. The actual, like –
he had never talked to his kid before about the whole thing.
Right. Yeah. That part seemed forced to me. Of the two, the Pony Excess I thought was brilliant.
Yeah, that was good.
I could have done without the little part at the end about, you know, June Jones has things going well again because, you know, who knew? But as far as the look back and all that stuff, I thought the Pony Excess was one of the better ones that they've done.
That was.
So, anyway, like I said, I'm not a hater on all of them. There's plenty of ones I like.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to say I'm going to sound like one of the haters. The next time a 30 for 30 comes out, they're going to say the next time when a 30 for 30 comes out, the director is going to get up and say, you know, no one ever thought we could make this movie. The haters were trying to keep us down. But anyway, I'm just tired of it, Kroom. I don't want to hear about your haters anymore. So that's my ongoing thing. We'll see if the finals ends. What's the next big thing to end? The NBA finals? NHL finals.
NHL finals.
We'll hear if they talk about the haters. No one thought we could win. What they always say, Kroom. Anyway, that's my big take on that.
Actually,
we'll
U.S.
see.
Open might actually even be the biggest next big thing as long as those other
By the way,
NHL
I was waiting to today to talk to you about it, and I totally forgot about it. Ricky Fowler finally won something to go with all the kids wearing his gear. I was telling someone a while back, I had to cover it in Temple. They have...
it was well-deserved. I mean, as close as he came last year.
In Temple, they have a children's golf classic over there that we always covered at the Telegram. And so I covered it. It was one of my first assignments over there. And it's always interesting to me because, you know, we sit around in the newsroom or in the press box and we go to some events and we talk about the guys that are influential in sports. And it's in some levels, we have a good perspective. But then on some levels, you don't. You go to something like that, you step out of something that we would normally go to, and you see who are the kids, you know, what jerseys are the kids wearing, what are they doing? I was at this kid's golf tournament, every kid out there wanted to look like Ricky Fowler, man. I've never seen more orange Puma flat bills in my entire life.
I've actually got a wood cover like
Ricky Fowler
with the hat that looks like the hat like that.
So there you go. We will see if... Ricky Fowler can keep it up. Everyone likes Ricky Fowler. Like I said, the kids love him. So I thought it was kind of interesting to see, you know, him finally win a tournament and stuff like that. You excited?
Yep, except for I have to answer a text. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Kroom, you got distracted. All right, well, let's go to break. When we come back, it's going to be time, Kroom. We're going to see what the guys are up to for the high school
report.
See
how late they're going to have to stay up
tonight. Yeah, we'll see what they're up to when we come back. So come back for the high school report. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagles, Sports Radio 1150, and the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talks.
Has issued a flash flood warning for southeastern Burleson County in southeastern Texas, eastern Washington County in southeastern Texas, southwestern Walker County in southeastern Texas, southeastern Brazos County in southeastern Texas, northern Waller County in southeastern Texas, northwestern Montgomery County in southeastern Texas, Grimes County in southeastern Texas, until 5:15 p.m. Central Daylight Time. At 3:22 p.m. Central Daylight Time, Doppler radar indicated a thunderstorm producing heavy rain across the warned area, mainly over Grimes County. Flash flooding is expected to begin shortly. Thunderstorms are producing 1 to 2 inches of rainfall an hour. Some locations that will experience flooding include College Station, Brenham, Navasota, Pinehurst, Washington, Magnolia, Montgomery, Milliken, Anderson, Todd Mission, Wellborn, Dobbin, Richards, Dickus, Plantersville, Carlos, Rhones Prairie, and Independence. Move to higher ground now. Act quickly to protect your life.
$1 million. As Bryan completes its fourth year operating its own shelter on Thin Feather, staff was congratulated for reducing the euthanasia rate from 80 to 23% and returning nearly 200 dogs and cats to their owners instead of taking them to the animal center. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Hello, it's the Toyota Time sales event. This is Jan.
Have I missed the deals? Oh, one sec.
Fastball, strike one.
I'm back.
No, in fact, during Toyota Time, we have 0% APR financing as well as leasing deals on a great selection of your favorite models.
I was going to come down earlier, but just my luck. Extra innings. Hold on.
Here's the pitch. Swag on and foul away.
How's your selection?
Great. We have an all-star lineup of reliable Toyotas led by the bold 2015 Camry and the power-hitting Tundra. And if you're thinking MPG, Corolla and Prius have the bases covered.
There's a high drive. Deep left. It's gone.
I'm on my way.
Oh, but you're still on the air.
You take over.
What? What a game, folks. Now let's hear a word from our sponsor.
The Toyota Time sales event ends June 1st. Hurry in today. Get 0 for 60 plus $1,500 on a new 2015 Tundra Crew Max Special Edition for a savings over $6,000. Visit gstoffers.com for details. Offers available in select states and 6115. Not all customers will qualify. See your participating dealer for details. Sale ends June 1st. Toyota, let's go places.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of those businesses who sponsor the games of your favorite team. Businesses like Pioneer Steel, Rudy's Barbecue, Garland Shelton Imports, and Prosperity Bank. Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone HD.
Hobby Bridge is an Aggieland tradition, serving their mouth-watering food for over 20 years to the folks of the Brazos Valley. And they want to invite you to enjoy a burger that you've come to know and love, which has been named Best of the Brazos for over a decade. And enjoy their award-winning goodness with $1.75 drafts all day, every Wednesday at both locations. Hobby Bridge, serving Aggieland the best big burger in town for over two decades. On Harvey and Welburn, both in College Station.
You're listening to The Zone FM 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150. Now, it's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Welcome back. It's time for today's High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. Fellas, I feel like it's fitting that right as we went to break to come back for the High School Report, we got a weather alert here on
really?
Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Well, I was going to say we may need one of those dozers just to get out of our own parking lot if it doesn't stop.
Earlier, I called y'all Larry the Pontoon Bowen and David the Boat Campbell. How are y'all holding up?
Well, here's the greatest irony of all. If you're into stuff like that, we had a guest set up. I had a guest set up. The Bremond tennis coach, Leslie Kosowski, was going to be our guest today. And of all things, she texted me about 10 or 15 minutes ago and said she couldn't be on the show because her team was getting ready to go on the court and play.
All right.
And the story of the last 2 days has been about not being able to get on the court and play. And then we lost a guest because they were playing. So there you go. Now, Aubrey, it has been a crazy couple of days. David was out there for part of the day yesterday. I got a little bit of the late night festivities, but I didn't stay anywhere near the end.
I do have to kind of give myself some credit because I joked yesterday that you had said they're going to push it back to 8, so I said, well, maybe they'll be playing until 4 o'clock. And David said,
exactly.
David said, no, they won't do that. Well, turns out they almost did.
Yeah, apparently apparently 3:59.
Yeah, that's right. I got it by a minute. And it took another rainstorm for it to happen.
Because they suspended matches, Aubrey, last night, or I say last night, this morning, at right there at 4 o'clock. And some of the teams had not even gotten onto the court. And I'll give you a couple of examples that relate to the area kids. I told you we were going to have the Brebon coach on. They stayed out there at the Mitchell Center until 3 a.m. last night when they were told, okay, you're not going to get to play. I don't know what they did. I'm gonna head out and catch their match over at the indoor center here in a few moments when we get off the radio and talk to the coach and the kids. So I think it's fascinating. But they were told at 3 a.m., you're not playing tonight. You're going to play at 10:45 in the morning. Now, David, you're my man of all things travel, technology, and everything else. So just give me a ballpark figure on how long it would be if they drove back to Bremont.
Oh, it's about a 45-minute drive, something like that. So, yeah.
And then you count the traffic of the thousands of people leaving the Mitchell Tennis Center at 4 a.m.
I don't think I've been up that late since the premiere of The Dark Knight Rises. So,
man. But can you imagine? I mean, I don't know if they had rooms here. I heard guys in the press box talking about scrambling to find rooms, you know, that they didn't have reservations. They were trying to get rooms. And I'm sure a lot of the teams that travel a great distance did that. Matter of fact, when I asked the Bremont coach to be on the show with us, I jokingly asked if I told her we were getting ready to rent out the spare room at my house, and I wanted to give them a first shot at it.
Yeah.
And David, you got a bigger, nicer house than we do, so you could probably make some extra bucks there.
Okay.
And if you put artificial turf in the background in the backyard, you could probably have a playoff game this week too. So
you know, I will give them credit for finally moving some games to the indoor court. There's no way they could get everything, and there's only three courts there. But I'll bet you the Rockdale, both of the Rockdale mixed doubles teams played there. Both lost this afternoon, but Larry, I'll bet those are the first indoor matches ever played at the state tournament. I've got to assume they are. I go back a long way with the state tournament. I know they hadn't played indoors when they were in Austin.
Right.
And I can't imagine that they were. I will point, just because those scores came in pretty not too long ago, Blake King and Aaron Blanchard from Rockdale lost to a team from Sonora, 6-2, 6-1. Same score for the match between Benjamin Blanchard and Casey Crump. They took on a team from Tulia. It was also 6-2, 6-1. But it's a little bit of an adjustment, as you said, when you haven't slept during the hadn't had a normal night's sleep, and then you go over and play on an indoor court that you really weren't expecting to be playing on. So nice job for getting over there and get it in, to be quite honest with you. And should also point out, because I know you saw some this morning that were losses in the semifinals. So if you get to the semifinals, you get a bronze medal.
Right. There was some tennis play today, and let's talk about that briefly before we go back to the weather forecast or whatever we're doing here. By the way, we should say this. At about 11:30, the rain came today. They were playing on all the courts out at A&M, and they had to suspend those matches, and they said 4 o'clock. And then they came back and said 6 o'clock. So the latest we've heard is 6. And if it continues to rain, there's just no way they're going to be able to get back out on those courts. But we will tell you a little bit about the action that did happen today. We had three entries, a couple of singles players and a doubles team that played today while I was out there. And we'll give you an update. Not good news, really, on any of those for the locals. I can tell you that the two kids that I saw last night and wrote about for today's paper, J.C. Smith and Diego Cruz Vespa, they were both knocked out in the semifinal round this morning. And as you said, that they are a state medalist, and that's a huge accomplishment. I think it's really big when you think about J.C. just being a freshman. But they both lost in straight sets this morning out there.
J.C.'s second set went 7-5, so it's pretty
right.
Pretty
yeah.
Good
now Diego's match, he lost a young man, or Mercado, 6-2, 6-0. So that one was not as close. But Diego got a good win last night in the quarterfinals, and he does get that bronze medal. A couple other people playing today. The local team of Evan Gann and Julian Dunmore, they made the semifinals in the boys' doubles. They won last night in three sets. They won last night 6-2, 5-7, 6-2.
That three-set thing has been pretty much their whole postseason. I mean, they started that in district.
Yeah, they're the guys that – you told me about those guys, and I wrote about those guys and said that they Indiana Jones it into the state tournament.
Yeah.
But they were playing this afternoon. Their match was suspended. It was not looking good. I actually watched the first set of their match, and it was over in 25 minutes. They dropped that first set 6-1. Julian Dunmore actually held his serve to start the match. And then the team from Grapevine won six consecutive games. They were up. It's kind of hard sometimes to read those little – it's not a scoreboard. It's just a deal where they move the tennis balls up and down to show the score. They were down either 3-0 or 4-0 in the second set when the rain was suspended. So it would take a monster comeback for those guys to get into the finals. But they are not finished yet. And I ought to mention a few other people. I did see that a couple of our other entries, Nick Bradham and his partner, Tarun Muthuchami, they lost in three sets last night to Mission Sherryland, David. That they won the first set, and so they won the first set 7-5, and then the Mission Sherryland came back and got them 6-2 and 6-3. They were in the second set when I left the Mitchell Center around midnight last night, so... If they had to finish that second set and then play a third set, I don't see there's any way they could have been through much before 1 o'clock last night.
Yeah, they might have won, but their fairy godmother had to go home at midnight. You know how that works.
Yeah, I know.
I was going to say, I bet Mission Sherryland staying in town. That's
I don't think they're driving back.
North people are hanging around here. Yeah, there's a few folks from a long distance to get here for this.
Yeah, it's nuts. And Aubrey and David, I'll just tell this to both of you guys. I was telling somebody about the tournament, about trying to cover it, and they were kind of like shaking their head like, man, I don't know how you're dealing with that. But the thing to me is, how could you be the UIL person? In this case, Daryl Beasley is like an assistant athletic director, and he's a guy who's running the tournament. What can you do?
I mean, it just keeps
raining, and they don't have anywhere to go.
Yeah, I don't think there are a lot of good options. And I think the tournament had challenges anyway with the six classifications being here. I think from that standpoint, it was going to be difficult anyway to get everything in and stay on schedule and pull that off, because it's double what we had a year ago.
Right, yeah.
Twice as many.
I think, David, you bring up a good point, and probably if we were smart, we would be far-looking and take in the bigger picture. The question is, after this, with the fact that you mentioned that it was double as big as we had last year, and we thought last year was pretty hectic, this being the case, and really nobody knowing whether it would work very well or not, and then you mix in this weather, which, of course, it could be raining in Austin or Waco or anywhere else.
It has been.
But when you take those two factors and put them together, it will be interesting to see if the UIL thinks about going back to the previous format where they split up the small schools and the big schools.
Hey, Larry, I think that's what they'll think of doing. Of course, then again, I said they wouldn't play till 4 a.m. either. So, I think it would have been this kind of thing no matter where you played it.
Right.
You just don't really know what the weather's going
to
do.
And you can't control that. But the thing you mentioned is
you overreact to it. I think in a lot of cases, but.
If you didn't have twice as many people, you wouldn't you'd have half the problem. That's the point.
They had a scheduled 90 more matches the first day. That's basically what it was. And you're talking about 6A to 1A, so the level of competition would be very interesting. So some of them, Some of those are baseline people that are out there hitting the ball, and in that case, all night.
Yeah, well,
for a long time.
I'll tell you this, David. If you were, you know, there's no way I ever would have made the state tennis tournament, but if you were covering me, you would have liked me because I was going to hit it hard and run up to the net, and if the point ended badly, so be it. I wasn't going to stay back there and mess around. So, hey, David, thanks for talking about the tournament. I'm assuming we may be able to get some kind of a update or at least a setup from the state track meet tomorrow. And who knows, maybe they will have converted the tennis tournament to a swim meet. As we get off the air, I'm going over to the Bryan indoor courts, and I think I'm going to watch the Bremond kids play and talk to them after their match and maybe ask them what their favorite lullaby is or something like that. I don't know, Larry,
with all the rain, I do want to mention a couple of baseball softball changes. Franklin and West were scheduled to play at Groesbeck. That is not the case now. And believe it or not, all those games are going to be at Franklin. Guess what? They've got an artificial turf field at the ranch out there. And so West and Franklin are going to begin tomorrow at 7 o'clock there. And the game the Burton game that was scheduled and Thorndale was scheduled to be at A&M Consolidated, and they're not going to play that there. They've instead moved that to Concordia University on Thursday night and moved it to 8 o'clock. That is in Austin, and so I don't know whether Concordia's got a turf field or not, but that's where they're going to be playing that single game playoff. And those are the
and that's
that,
tomorrow night, David?
That's tomorrow night.
Okay, so you could cover like Jonathan Bishop in the 3,200 meters at the state track meet and then get over to the baseball game.
Yeah, I think it's an 8 o'clock start. I mean, John Bishop's running at 8, and he runs pretty fast. I can get there by the third inning.
Third or fourth inning.
Yeah.
All right, David, we appreciate it, and we'll be hearing from you from the state track meet, and you'll go battle the weather over there. And, Aubrey, that's it for today. We're going to just keep doing the weather updates, I guess. We really don't know now what's going to happen with this state tournament. They have just till tomorrow, Aubrey, because they can't play over there Friday because of A&M graduation ceremonies at Reed Arena.
Larry, I got one more just before we get out here. Brian is still on for the home-and-home at Memorial. They said that their field is holding up, and so Thursday night, they're still planning to play at Tom Ball Memorial, and Brian still thinks they can host the game here Friday. Obviously, that could change, but for the time being, those games have not been changed.
There you go.
We will stay with it.
One of my all-time favorite movie lines, Aubrey, and you probably didn't even see Absence of Malice, but Wilford Brimley said, "The last time there was a leak like this, Noah built himself an ark." So there you go.
Well, we will be following it on the high school report. Not tomorrow because we won't be here.
But Twitter.
On Twitter, you can follow you guys at Brazzy Sports. Good luck, fellas. I hope things dry out for y'all the next couple days. That was today's high school report brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. We'll go to break. We'll come back and wrap up with the news. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
Hello, it's the Toyota Time sales event. This is Jan.
Have I missed the deals? Oh, one sec.
Fastball, strike one.
I'm back.
No, in fact, during Toyota Time, we have 0% APR financing as well as leasing deals on a great selection of your favorite models.
I was going to come down earlier, but just my luck. Extra innings. Hold on.
Here's the pitch. Swag on and foul away.
How's your selection?
Great. We have an all-star lineup of reliable Toyotas led by the bold 2015 Camry and the power-hitting Tundra. And if you're thinking MPG, Corolla and Prius have the bases covered.
There's a high drive. Deep left. It's good.
I'm on my way.
Oh, but you're still on the air.
You take over.
What? What a game, folks. Now let's hear a word from our sponsor.
The Toyota Time sales event ends June 1st. Hurry in today. Lease the bold 2015 Camry LE for only $199 a month for 24 months with $19.99 due at signing. Visit gstoffers.com for details. Offers available in select states and 6/1/15. Not all customers will qualify. See your participating dealer for details. Sale ends June 1st. Toyota, let's go places.
If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done, and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Norman G. Tractor. At Norman G. Tractors, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. Norman G. Tractor has the new Kubota L2501 HST 25-horsepower tractor with 4-wheel drive, Kubota front end loader, 5-foot land pride shredder, and box blade with teeth.
Priced with a $300 factory rebate, $700 implement rebate, and a $500 cash rebate, making your price $18,895 or $247 per month. Normandy Tractor asks you, why buy used when you can buy new with prices and payments as low as these? Normandy Tractor is aggressively pricing all equipment bought with your new tractor, so now is the time to make the drive to Normandy Tractor. Voted best of the Brazos since 2002, remember to shop the internet specials too at normandgtractor.com. Normandy Tractor, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normandy, Texas, and remember, nobody beats Normandy Tractor.
Walking, running, jumping, stretching, pulling, pushing. Any repetitive motion can cause wear and damage to your body. Using advanced diagnostic equipment and computerized technologies, the orthopedic sports medicine physicians and therapists at Scott & White Healthcare can treat all of your sports injuries, no matter how complex. Don't get sidelined by injuries. Pursue your passion in top form. Visit sportsmedicine.sw.org for more information.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Listen to the Zone 102.7 in Sports Radio 1150 on your smartphone, tablet, or PC. Visit RadioAggieLand.com.
I'm like a fish out of water, a cat in a tree. You don't even want to talk to me. Well, it's old, I know it, but I can't let go. He won't take me back when I come around. Says he's sorry, then he puts me out. I got a big chain around.
Welcome back. Aubrey Bloom joined by Kelly Brown here to wrap up the show. Other than the weather, what's going on out there?
Other than the weather?
Yeah.
Well, we have Sam Peschek hot off his little jaunt home to Omaha, or actually Kearney, Nebraska, is writing about one of... Or actually, it's more than one. Several of Texas A&M's AgriLife top researchers and educators gathered this morning to find a way to solve the growing global issue of food waste reduction.
They okay. solve it?
They started talking about it. They've already been studying it, okay?
Okay.
And they have this grand challenge. And the speakers basically were saying that school lunches, home food consumption, preservation, and supply chains are the main areas that need to be addressed. Okay, so... I mean, and I'm looking at school lunches. I'm just thinking cafeterias in general. But what's interesting is Brian was one of the areas they looked at. So he's going to be taking a closer look at the waste of cafeteria food in our local elementary schools. But as you can imagine, we waste a lot of food in this country.
Yeah.
I mean, when you start looking at these numbers, and I'm not going to spoil it, you'll have to go to MyAgNation.com and TheEagle.com to find out. But their game plan says it's going to reduce the rates in the U.S. But basically, they said the result is enough of wasted food to fill the Rose Bowl in one day.
Yeah, I mean, that's not that surprising. I mean, it's a shocking visual, but...
Buffets. Hello. Get yeah. rid of them.
Well, we waste a lot of food in this country because we eat a lot of food in this
that's
country.
That's true.
Would
that's
be
true.
My guess.
Well, and then there's the portion issue. Like, you go to Willie's, the chain restaurant, and they give you a obscene amount of food.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Well, that's like a science behind that, right? They want people to feel satisfied when they leave, so they give them too much.
Right.
Isn't that why cups and straws get bigger all the time? I think I saw something about that.
Then why are mixed drinks so small?
Well, they're trying to save money there.
Or maybe they're trying not to get people too wasted.
Yeah,
I think there's a law. There's probably some kind
right,
of law.
Right, well, yeah. I mean, I saw some documentary about that mm-hmm, one time. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was called.
You watch TV? Okay, so...
I think it was on Netflix.
In other Aggie news, we have John Hagler. That's who the A&M Foundation building is named after. He's a prominent alumni. He is being given an honorary doctorate by Texas A&M. So it's kind of a big deal. They say, you know, for decades, he's distinguished himself in his career and his business, and, of course, his civic leadership, as well as, of course, the dedication of financial gifts that he's given to Texas A&M. Anyway, so he's going to be given this honorary doctorate of letters degree during A&M spring commencement exercises Friday. Kind of a big deal.
Cool.
He went to Harvard after A&M. Got his MBA in 1963. So it's kind of a big deal. We're happy for him. He certainly deserves it. Here's something that will make you kind of feel inadequate. At 40, he served as treasurer and chief investment officer for the Ford Foundation. At 40. That's
I've still got 11 years.
Okay. Good luck with that. What do you think it would take to get a doctorate for you at Texas A&M, other than actually... You know, spending 12 years doing
well, my route would be just to actually try to get one. I think would be more likely. You know what I get paid. It's not going to be from my financial donations, without doubt.
No one ever said journalism was going to make you rich.
Well, I know. I'm just saying, if you asked what my path would be, it would probably be actually having to get one, probably.
But you love your job, right?
Well, yeah.
And that's why it's enough.
Right.
Not enough, but... Okay, let's change
Moving
the subject. Anyway, if that name, John Hagler, sounds familiar, other than the foundation building, he has already been named a distinguished alumnus, and he served on the A&M Foundation Board for many years in a variety of leadership positions, including a term as chairman, and they say he...